Hello, welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 54. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And as per the usual agenda, geeky things, games, anime, and whatever else tangents that we go on to.
So on, so forth. You know the routine.
I'm sure there will be some tangents.
There usually are tangents. The tangents are fun. Anywho, moving away from tangential fun and into actual stuff, I'm going to go ahead and start off with the new game that people are going bananas over, I guess would be a good term for it. Nintendo has recently released Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii! And in order to promote it in UK, the first 20 people who brought in an actual bunch of bananas got to use those in order to buy Donkey Kong Country Returns. So literally, here's the bananas, there's your game.
I like how I could buy a couple dollars worth of bananas and get a game.
Apparently the promotion was very successful, though.
I can imagine. They should have done it other things. Look, I like their things. Like, a fully knitted sweater will net you a copy of Kirby's Epic Yarn. And 20 lucky game store shoppers able to get a copy of Metroid Other M by bringing in a real extraterrestrial being.
That one would be interesting.
That would be easier just to buy, unless they count bacteria as extraterrestrial.
But what about the stuff that NASA found, where it's the life form that thrives off of arsenic?
It's DNA doesn't have, what is it, phosphorus? It has arsenic in place. But I thought they found it here on Earth, though.
Yeah, they found it off of California. I don't know, maybe it came from an extra... Maybe it is the leftover DNA of the people that helped build the pyramids. Stretching.
No, I was going to say that, you know, some scientists think that all life on Earth was extraterrestrial in origin. That we just, little cellular things came here on a comet, crashed into the Earth, and then just went, pew, reproduce.
It's like, hey, this place works really well for us. And there's no way to prove them wrong, so...
Yeah, there is.
Can you definitely say that you know that the very first cellular things did not come from outer space?
I'm sure you could find some data that would support your arguments in that way.
You could potentially find data that supports it the
other
way, too.
What we get in the end is, the scientists never really prove things. We just say, well, according to our evidence, this is the most likely scenario that exists.
Hence why everything is a theory instead of a fact?
Yeah, usually. I mean, it's like... based on all experience we have, gravity will tend to pull you down towards the Earth. However, we cannot prove that.
True. Okay, and then other news. Moving away from extraterrestrial beings to rich fuckers. Blizzard is apparently suing, according to the Korea Times, Blizzard is filing an injunction against NBC Game and One Game Net in Korea about broadcasting StarCraft tournaments, as they don't actually have the broadcast rights for those. What the Korean Esports Players Association, they're also filing an injunction against them, is kind of arguing is that this game should be considered, since it's in a public fee, it should be considered public domain and has no right to charge licensing fees to show off their game in the area.
I guess that depends on what Korean law is like. I mean, here, it's like professional sports things are all copyright and such. You can't broadcast a football game unless
Blizzard kind of looks at it as they've spent a lot of money to make this game balanced, to make it actually competitive. And they kind of deserve, their part of the share of the money that these people are making off of it.
Yeah.
Which I can kind of see that goes along with all the licensing stuff that you have to do if you want to open a game store anyways, which they have set up for people in the first place. So I'm kind of with Blizzard on this thing, but that could just be the capitalistic bastard in me.
I guess it's a whole thing. How do you want your, stuff to be used by the public? What sort of rights are granted?
It's probably completely different if, say, people are playing it, but they're not paying, but the people that bought it are not charging others to play it. But in this case, probably the KESPA gets money for, gets an entry fee for people coming in to play the tournaments, and then the channels that air that probably make revenue off of the advertising. So it's kind of like, If they weren't making any if they don't make any profit off of it, then Blizzard probably shouldn't get be on their back so much. But if they're making profit off of something Blizzard created, Blizzard should probably get a share of that profit since they did give them the ability to make the profit off of it in the first place. At least that's how I kind of view it.
Guess we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Blizzard seems to go after people.
Well, Blizzard makes good game. Makes good games, but they protect their stuff. Like, you know, let's go with a bear protects her cub.
I think that's a good analogy.
And that's all I've really got for news sections.
Yeah, I haven't heard any other news in particular this past week.
Stuff that's going to have been released has been announced.
Cataclysm comes out on...
Tuesday.
Tuesday at 12:01 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I think my brother's purpose, well, he's already going to be up, so he'll be there when it's available, if the servers will let you on. I guess for geeky watching, Netflix has started a new series of streaming through the streaming option called Moribito, Guardian of the Spirit, which is apparently based off of a group of fantasy novels by... hopefully I don't butcher this name.
Nohoka Yuhashi? You want to go with that?
Yeah, close enough. I've never heard of the series, never seen it, nothing. I was having to wrap some presents the other day, so I was like, okay, sure, let's watch a few episodes. So I watched the first four, which is basically the first disc, because I thought that's all that was released, but no, the whole entire series is on there. And... so far, I'm enjoying it. It's basically based on a character named Balsa, who is a warrior for hire, who is a woman who's skilled with a spear. She basically is taking the task of becoming a bodyguard because she feels that she killed 8 people who were really close friends, supposedly, and she feels that their lives will only be amended if she can protect 8 people in return. Her last person who she has to protect is Shagum, who is... the second prince of the imperial family, who's been basically branded by his dad to be killed because he has a spirit, a water spirit.
There's the egg of the water spirit.
Yeah. And his dad doesn't really want to do it, but he feels like he has no choice the way the politics work here. The royal family is seen as, you know, quite frankly, gods, and if you were to look upon the royal family, you'll be struck blind. So, basically, his mother asks Balsa to protect Shagum for as long as he lives. And she said yes. The voice acting is pretty decent for the English cast. I don't know if I can get the subtitled version through Netflix streaming. I should try and see if it's available. The only one I don't really like, actually, is Shagum. The voice doesn't really work well for the character, I think. Which is, I cannot remember what other thing other than he plays James Hawkins in Outlaw Star. He just, his voice style just doesn't fit, I think, the boy, basically.
He's Ichigo as a child.
Yeah, he's also, well...
Minoru Kokubunji in Chobits, Win in Cowboy Bebop. Let's see what else I actually know. But apparently he was in Gatchaman. Gatekeepers.
He's Luciola in Last Exile, which is actually really funny. If you've ever watched it, he sounds nothing like that. Okay, see now, if he did something more like that, it wouldn't have been so bad.
He was Motoko in Love, Hina. Let's see. Inari and Young Haku and Ryugen in Naruto.
That doesn't have Asuka, Kaminobi, star now. I swear he is. I swear he's James.
He's Plue in Rave Master.
I don't think I've seen Rave Master.
Plue is a little creature that goes, Plue! That's about the extent of the line he needs to remember. Let's see. He was in Tenchimyo Ryoki and Tenchimyo GXP as Ryoko. Interesting. Trigun Elizabeth, Kite, and additional voices. And Vandred, Mia's Fama, Chisato's mother, and Bat Lady. Wolf's Rain as Tobo. And I'm not really going to go through all these. Except for the fact that he was in Captain Planet and the Planeteers as additional voices. And in the pilot episode of Inspector Gadget, he was Penny.
Okay, my mind's blown because Inspector Gadget was like my favorite cartoon when I was little.
But just the pilot episode.
Yes.
He was in Teen Wolf, too. Spider-Man, Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo, Rugrats.
Rainbow Bright and My Little Pony.
Jackie Chan Adventures.
Been around a bit, I guess.
Apparently his voice is
the Smurfs.
Okay.
Film roles. Akira. Takashi and additional voices for the 2001 Pioneer dub release.
Capstone Dance. Wow, this dude was in a lot. Anywho, we're getting way off topic.
Look, it's a tangent.
So, away from that guy.
Back to the series. I recommend it. I'm going to watch a few more episodes just to see how it goes. The characters are interesting enough. And the world seems to be very, very based, in a sort of realistic world with some sort of mystical things. And people are kind of, whoa about the mystical things. So, I don't know. I found it interesting. The animation's fluid. Score's nice. I recommend watching it. So, if you have Netflix streaming, it's already there. Might as well watch it.
It's not like it'll cost you any extra money.
Oh, speaking of Netflix streaming, I guess this is a tangent, but worthwhile tangent. You can now just do a streaming option through Netflix. You do not have to get the DVDs, which is, I've heard, was $7.99, I believe.
Probably something like that. I know as a result of that, though, all the ones that include all the packages that include DVDs went up in price. Like mine increased by $1 a month. And the people that have, the ungodly, I think there was something like, you can have 50 DVDs out at once. Whoa. No, it was 10 DVDs out at once. It's like $50, $50-some dollars a month. It's like $55 now.
There's some people
what do you need 10 DVDs out at a time for?
Oh. You will always have something available. Always.
I guess.
Yeah, but seriously, do you really need that many?
Some people, I guess, just watch stuff.
I watch a lot of movies when I get a chance to.
But could you watch 50 before the 3 days that it usually takes for the DVD turnaround?
Or you mean 10?
Or 10, yeah.
It depends. It depends on what it is and how I'm feeling.
Okay, sorry, it's 8, not 10. 8 DVDs at a time plus unlimited watching is $55.99 a month. I don't know, that seems excessive to me. And then if you're really a cheap bastard, you can get one DVD at a time with the limit of 2 rentals a month. 2 hours a month of the instant, and then 2 hours a month of the instant streaming for $4.99 a month.
So people just once in a while want to just watch a couple things. Those are for the infrequent renters. They do exist. Trust me, after working at Blockbuster, you'll see this one person come in maybe every 3 or 4 months, get one movie, and then go away again. And you don't see him again for a while.
You know, since it's only $9.99 for one DVD at a time and unlimited streaming, and you also get, the Stars Play service, which is not available. The Stars Play and Stars Play TV is not available on a limited plan, but it's available on a regular plan. I'll just pay the extra $5.
Personal opinion.
Of course, when I go and watch the unlimited plan, or when I go and watch stuff on Instant Stream, I usually go and, a binge.
Yeah, that's usually us. I've been also looking to see what's available, since not all titles are available, because they probably have to negotiate the rights to be able to allow certain things be streaming. So it takes a while for things to get on there. But they're getting stuff. If you want to watch a lot of really bad B-action horror flicks, there's a whole ton on there.
Well, no, like last night we were looking for Princess Bride and found out it was disc only. But then just below it's like, hey, there's Robin Hood Men in Tights and it's streaming.
We've been watching Avatar Last Airbender. So
how far are you guys through?
We're about
halfway through book 2.
Yeah. There is only 18 episodes in book 2, but 2 of them are 47 minutes long, so it practically is 20 episodes, except 2 are combined into 1.
Two-parted.
Iroh is still the best character ever.
Iroh is awesome. I think we've gone over this before, though.
Yeah.
Yes. We digress. I guess the only other thing we have been doing, which is now part of the podcast again, is WoW.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see the changes in various zones.
Yeah, just went through and did all Feralus. I was a little over leveled for the zone, but I was already halfway through all the quests, and I'm like, might as well just finish them for the achievement.
Yeah,
and I've been finishing quests. This entire area is green for me. I'm not getting much experience, but I'm enjoying the storyline, and I'm about ready to nuke the Alliance. Literally, there's a one in Hillsbrad where you put mini nukes in Alliance bases.
How do you go? See, I already
Everything's gotten more ruthless.
Well, they did, take over all of Hillsbrad.
Yeah, but I was meaning that I've been doing quests in Thousand Needles. Goblins are awful, awful people.
Yes.
I don't like doing quests for them anymore.
Given. I guess I don't mind I guess from a lore sense, I don't mind nuking the Alliance when it's in order for, basically to protect a forsaken town and then a horde character. or undead character, so it's kind of like, for the Forsaken.
Yeah, I think the goblins have taken, you know, the spot right up above the Forsaken right now for in terms of my least favorite horde class.
As far as at least their attitudes on stuff is?
Yes. But though Garrosh is up there too, because I don't approve of his stuff. He's weird. Thrall, come back!
Well, maybe we'll run into him in the Maelstrom.
He was in the Grand, do some sort of shaman thing. Now I don't know where he is.
And so I think he's supposed to have moved on to the Maelstrom to try and, you know, settle things down. But nobody actually knows what he's doing in the Maelstrom. At least, you know, I haven't read the Shattering book, so I don't know. And I think that was supposed to be like one of the next books that was written.
Well, ask my bro, he's been reading them.
I need to get that book. Anywho,
I guess I need to move on to a new zone. I was going to start questing in the Badlands, because I'm still kind of not used to not being on a PvP server, so I've been used to, like, questing in those far-reaching areas where there's more Horde presence than Alliance presence, and that was one of the places that was more Horde than Alliance. Follow the zone has changed dramatically, and there's lots of dragonkin, lots of black flight dragons. So I thought it was interesting, but I was two levels too low when I first went there. I made my way all the way there, and it's quite a journey when you're coming from the other side of the world, and I couldn't do any quests. I was too low in level by two levels. I had to look it up. I was 42, the quest start at 44. So that's another reason why I hung around in Feralis, and I've done a few quests in the Thousand Needles. I got my boat.
As I was telling our guild leader, the advantage of us not being max level, your achievement points count towards guild experience once the expansion actually hits. So all the new achievements we get will count towards our guild.
Hooray! We don't have lots, so that's good. Though, I just find it funny that Blizzard basically gave you a bunch of freebies, like, on the map exploration.
Yeah.
Especially for my brother. He had nothing filled in anywhere, and he has, like, almost all of them except for a couple zones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not fair.
What I found kind of entertaining was, like in a quest now, they'll do little cinematics for you where they point you to different things. When you're doing that, watching those cinematics, they'll count you as discovering that zone. I was just, it's like, I'm listening to things like,
there's some things I've gotten. Oh, yeah, I was getting that 2,000 needles when I was, you know,
canoe,
which basically takes you from one side of the zone to the barge. And yeah, every zone you were passing was like, discovered. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I am technically riding in this boat. I mean, if I was swimming across, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah, but it's like, you can't discover stuff when you're on the, you know, taxi flights.
But that's literally the only ones I think that count now is not discoverable, because, like, when I was in the Silver Pine, when I was grabbed by one of the Valkyrie to get flown back before we got our asses kicked, it counted the area she flew over as discovered.
But yeah, you need to try a few more new instances since they changed all the levels on thing. Maradon's gotten a decrease. It's a low 30 to mid 30 dungeon now.
Well, so does Dire Maul. It's 40s now.
Yeah.
Basically, instances match the zone that they're in now.
Heaven forbid we can actually go in an instance.
Except for Scarlet Monastery, which is still mid 30s.
Yeah.
Low 30s. It's a low 30s. Well, it actually goes from
low 30s to high 30s. Because low 30s is the graveyard, high 30s is the cathedral.
Yes. I do have to laugh when my brother did Maradon this morning. He steps in, and you know normally how the quest givers now, there's no real quest giver. You walk in, all of a sudden, your quest log pops up saying, you have a quest. And you accept it, and it's to kill a satyr at the end. And then when you turn it in to Yair again. It just pops up saying you've completed it. You don't turn it in to anybody, but yet you get money and experience for turning it into Yair.
You get money and experience from the ether.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. Although we should link that comic about WoW from Fanboys.
Did you read that then?
No, I haven't read it.
Yes, I read that one. That was funny. Kill Tim Forrest. This is the same old shit I've done forever.
I'll make everything better!
Says Deathwing as he flies across the air.
With a rainbow coming out of his butt.
Kill 10 magic boars.
Yay!
It's a whole new game!
I have to admit, we are still doing the same thing, but I think it's just presented better.
Yeah.
It's a lot more engaging. The world feels more like viable.
Well, it makes a lot of things make more sense, like especially turning kind of quests in out in the field when you're doing stuff instead of going like, you know, run over here and check out, you know, X, you know, item. And then run back to the camp and say, hey, I looked at the item, it's like busted or something. And then go back out again and go fix it. Instead, you just go, there's a part missing. Well, let's go kill the things around here and see if you can find the part. Oh, look. Okay, I found the part.
Go take the part and the other thing to the person that you originally wanted the item.
No. Take the part to the, you know, to the broken thingy. Put it back in. Okay, it's working now. Do the whatever you're supposed to do thing to begin with.
Yeah, it's definitely much better now. Much more streamlined.
Logical. I think that's, you know, all we've done.
It's all I've done. I have played a game, but the NDA prevents me from actually talking about it.
Oh, you got into something fancy.
I got into it. It's a closed beta, but the NDA is like, you can't do this, this. I'm like, oh, you people suck.
Can you say the name of the game?
Probably. It's Rifts.
Okay.
I don't know. It's Rift. Rifts, the Plains of Tolera. Basically, me and Irish Pride saw this at E3, and the basis of the game is you're playing through it, and randomly you'll see rifts into the other elemental planes, you know, life, death, earth, or water, lightning, so on and so forth. And you have to fight the beings in there in order to close the rifts. Well, if you don't close the rifts, it becomes worse, and it starts taking over the land around it, and becomes, you know, stronger. So the point is, it's supposed to be a living world where if a lot of people are on one weekend, these rifts are going to get taken care of quickly, but if nobody's on for a period of time, these rifts will open and they'll start to take over and kind of change the landscape and become more difficult to take care of.
Interesting premise. See how well it pulls it off. Let us know when you can say actually stuff about the game other than this premise.
Will do.
The other thing I think is I'm going to start making dice bags. It's hard to find dice bags. At least ones that I'd like, or at least can find in the local area.
It's hard to find geeky stores, it seems.
In general, yeah. I mean, we got ThinkGeek, but there's nothing local, really.
Yeah, there's no...
The one place that was local has gotten really small and kind of sad. It made us feel sad being in there. It's shrunk in half, and they have no dice selection, and RPGs? What are those?
Yeah, they had like 5 D&D books.
Oh, is this the game place in Brighton?
No.
Or is this Hobbytown?
Oh, really? Hobbytown shrunk?
The other half is a fitness center now.
And they've kind of just moved their focus towards
automobiles.
Yeah, planes, trains, automobiles. So, little RC cars, remote control planes.
We'll have to check out Bahala's again. I think they had more of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. They supposedly have a very robust schedule of programs. For anyone in the Denver area needing a store, Bahala's, you go check it out more thoroughly. But
it's like completely on the opposite side of town of us.
Yeah, I was checking out their play schedule. They have stuff going on every single day. Every weekend there's tournaments. Every night there's stuff. Like, I think Monday or Tuesday nights at 5 or 7 p.m. is D&D 4th edition night.
That's the only way to really keep yourself going, though, is give people a reason to come down to your store.
Yeah.
Which is why you can't order anything from them online, either. You have to physically come into the store.
That's understandable, though.
Yeah. Well, like, one of the things that Wizards was doing is having play nights that they have to be at your local store, which are, I'm trying to remember, I think they call them Seasons of Play or something. Like, they have, like, they have a thing that's supposed to go once a week, I think on Wednesdays, I can't remember for sure now, I've forgotten. I listened to their podcast and they told me, and now I can't remember it anymore. But they were doing for a while, they're doing Dark Sun, and now they're doing something else again.
Okay. Well, with that, I'm out of things. How about you guys?
Yeah.
All right. Well, feel free to visit our site, www.thegameslave.com. Forums are forum.thegameslave.com. Shoot us a line at mail.thegameslave.com. And check out our wonderful selection of shirts at thegameslave.spreadshirt.com. In the meantime, y'all have a good week, and we will see y'all later. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.